I did this for Michelle. I think I did a pretty good job. Yeah. Like, Damian Priest, I'm coming after you. It's CM Punk.
And there you go. Those are your three. That's your range of Scottish accents. You have Alan Cumming, Merida, and Drew McIntyre. Hey everyone, I'm Michelle.
And I'm DJ.
And this is Roses and Rejections, a podcast on the Pop Break Network where we talk about all things Bachelor Nation.
Woohoo!
Woo! Except for today, we're not...
Well,
a little, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say, a little bit today.
A little bit today.
But this is the first episode of our off-season.
Yeah! Because Joey's season just ended.
Yep.
And we are before... The next
Jen's.
Season, Jen's season. No, my brain was like, before BIP, and then I was like, there is no BIP.
Right.
And then I was like, before... Golden Bachelorette, but that hasn't...
We don't know what the deal yet is with that.
So...
Before Jen's season. Which, if you missed last episode, it's going to be in July.
Yes.
So we have quite the hiatus. I pitched this a while ago where I was like, we need a different name, like an off-brand name. Like, it's like Rosés and Rejections or something like that. Like, it's our... Or like the Seasonal Rose or like something like that, right? Mm. Where it's like, welcome to the Seasonal Rose or welcome to Rosés and Rejections.
It should be like Roses and Rejections, : the off-season. Or like... : something clever that Michelle isn't trying to think of on the spot.
Yeah, I remember...
Maybe I'll try to think of something.
You should, yeah. I mean, I will pitch it. I mentioned this before, but it's been a while, so I'll bring this up again. Back when one of the McElroy's brothers and his wife, I can't remember which one, the youngest one, people were like screaming at their phones because they're like, it's this one. But him and his wife did a Bachelor podcast.
Yes.
And it was called Rose Buddies.
I remember.
And then when they weren't covering The Bachelor, they're doing in between stuff like this. It was Rose Buddies with a Z.
Oh.
Rose Buddies.
Well, we could do Roses.
Roses.
And Rejections.
I hate that so much more.
Roses.
I love that. I love that pod. I think the last... season they did was
it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It might have been
it was the season of BIP that Corinne was on.
Yeah.
So
and then they stopped. It was right before I think
Ari's season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a bummer, but you know.
Yeah.
We're here.
C'est la vie.
So yeah, c'est la vie. Michelle, what are we talking about today on Rosés and Rejection pending
title? I'm not calling it Rosés and Rejections. That sounds silly.
What are we talking about today on working title Rosés and Rejections hiatus show?
Great. Excellent. Rolls right off the tongue. So my current obsession show, which is...
Hey.
Yeah. No, I'm really like obsessed with it. Traitor season 2.
Yes.
So this was something that was pitched to us. And I will say going in, I had like very little information about the show overall, but it's like a show for reality TV stars. And I did know that Peter Weber was on it.
Yes, that's about all. I knew a little bit more than you, but that was the big thing that I kind of.
That we knew.
Yeah. I will call this out because I just want to give a shout. In the Mostly Nitpicking channel on the Nano V Movies Discord, if you don't know what those words mean, that's totally fine.
Yes.
But user Fajita added me and said, you and Michelle gotta check out Traitors with Alan Cumming. It's basically like Mafia or Werewolf, but a reality show.
Yes. And I have a lot to say about this.
Okay.
First of all, kudos on you for getting the name Fajita as your username. Like, good for you. Like, that's just the first thing I want to say, okay?
So, shout out to you, Fajita. Appreciate it. Thank you for, like, bringing this to our attention.
Yes. Now, Fajita, you said it's basically Mafia or Werewolf, but we have a game that this is almost identical to.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, identical to this.
Yeah. So before we get into that, do you want to just give like a brief overview of like what the show is for people who might not have seen it? And then I guess I'll just mention on the front end. So we're talking about The Traitors season 2, episodes 1-6.
Yes.
Full spoilers.
Yes. Yes. Full spoilers for episodes 1-6. And we will not go beyond episode 6.
Yeah.
Even though we will not.
We have watched, but we said... 1-6, so we're kind of bounding it there for today.
Yes.
And then the rest will be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but take it away, please.
Okay. So the show overall is that they gather, how many reality contestants? 20?
It was like something in the range of like, I want to say 21 is the number sticking out, but it's like somewhere, yes, in that range. It's like 20.
I also want to preface this whole episode with the fact that DJ and I have not watched most of the shows that these people have been on. Please, yeah, give us a little bit of leeway if we mess up someone's name or what show they were from or something, because this is kind of like news to us, you know? Like, mm-hmm, yeah, like we are still learning and we're doing our best to not look up a lot of information because we haven't finished the season yet and we don't want to be spoiled. So,
yeah,
so while I would love to look up more information on like a lot of these people, I'm very hesitant to do so until we finish everything.
Right.
So right now, go with grace, because like, yeah, it's gonna, we may mess up some of the things we say, but we're doing our best. Okay, that being said, a lot of contestants from reality shows, a lot of different reality shows, were brought together to play a game. And the game involves murdering fellow, there's a few traitors, and your fellow contestants get murdered throughout the game.
Yeah, the good guys are called the Faithful.
The Faithful,
those are like the good guys.
And the traitors.
Yeah.
There are competitions to win money, which gets added to a giant pot at the end of the game. If all of the traitors are killed, that money gets split among the Faithful. And if all of the Faithful are killed, then that money goes to the traitors.
I think if even only one traitor, if at least one traitor is alive at the end, they take all the money.
Well, what is the end?
That we don't know that, yeah, yet, because we haven't watched any other seasons.
Right,
so,
right.
But like, whatever, the idea is if there's any traitors at the end, they get the money.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So that's like the, it's a lot like a murder mystery dinner, yeah, type of thing, but it's, you're living this experience and it is all the time.
Yeah. And
you're winning money in these competitions that are vaguely the challenge or Survivor-esque.
Yes. And Michelle mentioned that there's a lot of different reality shows. There's a pretty heavy sampling from like the quote unquote like the Bravo shows.
Yes.
So your Housewives, yes, like Below Deck. I'm, yeah, trying to think. I don't, that Bling Empire one might be on there.
I'm honestly not sure.
But it's because it's an NBC property, so they're taking, yeah, it within house. But what's cool is they kind of farmed out to some non NBC properties.
Yes.
Like, right, Peter Weber,
yes,
former Bachelor lead. Who, like, you know, whose season we talked about and we're, you know,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
Peter was a fun
yeah, lead.
Yeah, it was fine, yeah. And they got Dancing with the Stars and, yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race and Survivor and Big Brother. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's such a good mix. And we should say, not exclusive to reality TV shows. They have a little,
yes,
bit of who's in there. Like, they have a fashion designer, a heavyweight boxer, former speaker of the British House of Commons.
Yeah, like what? Dean and I were watching this, we're like, wait. We're like, yeah, reality stars. This is a show for reality stars. And then they're like, I'm a fashion designer. And we're like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm a boxer. It's like, okay. And then he's like, I'm this older guy. I'm a speaker from the House of Commons. And we're like, what is this show?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Okay. I don't want to say I don't know where to start. I have a million things floating around my head.
Yeah, we probably should write these down, but let's just go off the cuff.
I really want to say, I wanted to just talk about the game a little bit.
Sure,
because the
please.
Game. So there's a game that DJ and I have played a lot. And, yeah, the reason that I want to bring this up at all is because I can't watch the show without thinking of that game. Because it's very similar. The name of the game is called Blood on the Clock Tower. And the way that it works is almost identical to the show in that there are, like, enemies which are, like, demons. Or,
yeah,
there's, like,
more or less.
There are the bad guys in the game, and there are the townsfolk in the game who are the good guys. And every night, a townsfolk gets killed by the bad guys. And then it's, and the bad guys are masquerading as townsfolk, so as the good guys, and it's up to everyone to decipher who's a bad guy and who's a good guy, which is very much what this show is. So I have not a hard time, but like I'm drawing so many of these like similarities between them. And I think my favorite part of it is a lot of times that I've played this game, I play as the like game master. So I'm basically Alan Cumming for this, like, for our games. So I love that.
He's the host of the traitors,
yes,
if we didn't mention.
He's the host. He's the, if you've watched it, the one in the fabulous outfits with the dogs and everything. And it's perfect. No notes. It's just great. And the and that's usually the role that I play when we play this game. So it's nice that I now have something to aspire to for the next time we play. I plan on wearing my most outrageous outfit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
By the way, Blood on the Clock Tower, made by the Pandemonium Institute.
Yes.
They're the game developer. If you Google the game, you can find it pretty easily.
It's called Blood on the Clock Tower. They are not paying us to do this. I just am obsessed with this game.
Well, maybe they should be.
No, I'm obsessed with this game. If you, what's the minimum number of plays you need for this?
It's the minimum is 6, but you get to some insane player counts. Like,
yeah.
In the teens. It's like pretty nuts.
You get a big group of people. You figure out how to play this. It is such a good time.
Yeah, very good time.
But you need at least 6 people to play it. And honestly, it works better with, like, the more people you have and the crazier it gets, the better of a game you have. But so anyway, all that being said, it's fun to go into this show with the knowledge of how that game works because the similarities are so close. It's easy to be like, and because you and I are pretty big gamers.
Yeah.
Like, we have done a lot of, we've played a lot of Mafia and Werewolf and Blood on the Clock Tower and every other bluffing game that we have that makes it, or Hidden Identity, I should say, not bluffing. That we have that makes it kind of easy to see, well, what should they have done in this scenario?
Yeah.
What was a good move? What was a bad move? And man, it has been quite a ride.
Yeah, you can watch the show in a couple different ways. We hit this very, like, specifically Michelle and I hit this, like, very interesting Venn diagram where we are here for the trash bits where it's like, oh my god, this is so messy and insane.
Yeah.
And, like, also for, like, the game theory perspective, it's like, here's how, like, you should be playing the game. And, like, I think you could enjoy either one of those, but,
yes,
like, I think it's fun that we enjoy both.
Oh, absolutely.
But, like, you could just watch this, like, if you're, like, it's so interesting because I feel like if you're just, like, a fan of the, you know, suite of reality television shows that are in here, like, you could watch it and have a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see all your favorite housewives, like, duke it out.
Honestly, I'll say, coming into this show with very little knowledge of the other people aside from Peter Weber and surprise Bergie from Love Island.
Yeah, and Johnny Bananas. That was
I knew
one
of
from
him.
The challenge.
I haven't seen him.
Right.
I watched at least 3 episodes that Bergie was in for Love Island, and I was very surprised to see him here because my brain was like, Bergie, why do I know that name? And then his chyron came up, and I was like, oh my god, that's Bergie from, like, that those 3 episodes of Love Island that I watched.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think that you can go into this show with very little knowledge of the shows overall and still be pulled in very easily.
Yeah.
About it. Like, or with it.
It's funny, too, because, like, even if you don't know, like, the pedigrees of the people, like, they clearly are picking, like, people with pedigrees, like Sandra won Survivor twice, right? And like Dan won Big Brother, right?
But,
and it's like,
but not everyone who was picked is
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Like then they have some random people like Kevin Kreider who was from
Bling Empire,
which is not a game show. Like, it's a reality show, which is basically Crazy Rich Asians.
But real life.
But
yeah,
real
that,
life.
It seems like that was the pitch. Someone was like, what if we did that for real? And then they made the show.
They took Max from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He's one of the professional dancers that teaches the stars how to dance.
Yeah.
They brought him on this show, because why not?
Yeah.
Like, so it's funny because on the show, people started sort of classifying people as like, oh, the gamers, which are the people who played The Challenge, Big Brother, or Survivor, versus the housewives, versus, was there anyone else, or is it just that?
Well, like,
like the gamers in the housewives, oh, the Bravo people, they called it?
Yeah, those are, well, yeah, I guess they don't all get lumped in with the housewives,
right.
But, like, it's right, if you're in Married to Medicine, like, is that part of that?
Right,
like,
or Below Deck,
or
that's Bravo,
below, yeah,
it's
that's
not
Bravo, yeah. All right, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest get on the show? I have an answer, but who do you think is the biggest get?
Oh, like the biggest celeb that they got?
Yeah.
It's hard for me because I don't know these people enough to like make that call. Like to me, it's Peter Weber. Like he was a bachelor. That's like a huge get in my opinion, but
so, like, he's my, like, there's one, I think there's one, only one person I think is, like, technically, like, bigger.
I know who you're gonna say.
Who?
Deontay, right?
No, because, he had a moment,
is
but,
it
like,
John?
I think, No, it's I think, well, it's a John, Johnny Bananas.
Oh, okay.
I think Johnny Bananas is like the biggest get. He's like a really huge like reality star because he's done like a lot of seasons of The Challenge. Like I feel like not like. Like, I don't want to say normies, but I feel like your Joe Schmo, like, has heard of Johnny Bananas and, like, more or less knows, like, who he is.
I know of him, but, like, very little. Like the reason I wouldn't say he was the biggest get for me is because, I haven't watched his shows at all, but, like, I know of him.
Yeah, I'm like... Like, you could probably go more empirical and be like, who has the most, like, Instagram followers? And that's, like, probably pretty boring. But, like, Johnny Bananas has 925 Instagram followers, right? Like, that's a lot.
100,000. I'm curious how many.
Peter Weber has over a million.
Yeah.
And you might be right. It might be. There 1.3 million Peter has.
Yeah, I think it's Peter.
It's one of the things when you've been, like,
a bachelor.
There's only been, whatever, like 20 some odd, right?
He was a bachelor.
Bachelors, right? Like, yes. Yeah, you might be right. It might be Peter Weber.
Yeah.
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 So.
Can we talk about Peter Weber for a moment?
Let's talk about Peter Weber.
Okay. I came to the show because it was recommended to me by Fajita.
Again, thank you, Fajita.
Yeah. No, super appreciate it.
Also recent dad, so congratulations.
Oh, congrats, Fajita.
Yeah. I'm officially a dad now. It was like 3 days ago.
Oh.
Get some sleep, my dude. Or try.
Came to the show for Peter Weber.
Yeah.
Staying for Peter Weber.
Yeah, that's...
Obsessed with how Peter Weber is playing this game, because Peter Weber is clearly, like, a gamer. And when I say that, I mean, I don't mean someone who sits in front of a TV with, like, a video game console, whatever.
But maybe.
I mean, he might be. But I'm saying that the way, when I say gamer, I don't mean something like that. I mean a person who is able to think using, like, game theory.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, able to, and again, we're spoiling between episodes 1 to 6, he was able to trap, like, the traitors.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to, like, he's coming up with ways to, like, trick people. And by people, I mean, he's trying to, like, lure out suspects. He's, like very good at sort of reading the room and, like, playing these people. And it's very, for the end of episode 6, the traitors try to recruit him.
Yeah.
And, like, that's very exciting.
That's where we are, by the way, cliffhanger-wise.
Yes. Yes, that is, like, that's the end, and we're not going to say what happens or spoil that. I thought that was an interesting choice. It's not who I would have picked to recruit.
Yeah, we said, so we'll give, like, a brief summary for those who haven't watched. The traitors were in a bit of a bind because one of them got eliminated, so there were three down to two. So Alan Cumming, who we will talk about, he gets a whole segment.
Of course.
Our king. They had the opportunity to recruit someone, and, like, we had a couple ideas, right? And they picked Peter. We won't say what happened, but I said John, because I think he's very, like, trusted amongst the faithful, and I think he would have said yes. Who did you think they should have recruited?
I said Bergie.
Yeah.
Because Bergie is also very trusted among the faithful.
Yeah.
I just think Bergie would be able to play. I think Bergie would have said yes to being selected, and I think that he would be able to play the game better than John would, is my concern. I don't think John would be good at lying/manipulating his fellow players.
He might have just, like, stepped on the rake the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at being a faithful because he is a faithful.
Yeah.
Like, which is, so, like...
Speaking of good at being traitor and faithful... What? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say one last thing on this point before I get to yours. So, actually, what I had said originally was... So every night the traitors could kill someone, right?
Right.
And they're removed from the game immediately. They don't get to talk to anyone. They're gone.
Right.
And it was, they had the option to kill or recruit.
Yes.
And the recruit wasn't a guarantee because the faithful who they recruit could say no.
Yes.
I was like, they should kill because you are guaranteeing dwindling the numbers of the faithful versus you are maybe not dwindling the numbers of the faithful.
Yes. I think that, well, I know that the reason that they attempt to recruit Peter is because they want, because he's such a powerful player.
And yeah.
For me, there's two fields of thought. They want to recruit him because they want, and everyone trusts him, Peter, right now.
Yeah.
Especially after he, like, not single-handedly, but he did a really good job at, like, luring out the other trader, and Dan.
And he's been doing it through tact, unlike some of the other ones, like...
where it's just yelling and
screaming. Janelle, Deontay, Larsa were just, like, bullying their way into a position of power. He's done it tactfully.
Yeah, yeah. So the faithful, like, trust him. So, okay. Peter lured out Dan, and he is pretty sure that, that Parvati is also a traitor.
Yeah.
And she is.
Yeah. So, and so is Dan. Yeah.
And so was Dan. Because
he's gone.
Peter got Dan like kicked out. Yeah. But Peter also knows that Parvati is a traitor. Yeah. Like he is so sure of it. He's like, Parvati's a traitor. Now here's the thing. There are the traitors had the option to, like you said, kill someone or to
recruit.
And they chose to recruit Peter.
Yep.
And I hear what you're saying, where they should have killed someone. But I think Parvati is afraid because she knows that Peter's gonna get her sent home.
Yeah.
And if they kill Peter, it's very clear, like, it's Parvati. Like, it's obvious. Like, I think that the only way she thought she could save herself is if she recruited Peter. And, like, Peter can come in, save the day, be like, oh, you know what? I was wrong, you know?
It was the risk. It's a risky gambit because, right, it's like, well, what if he says no? And that's what I said from the get-go.
Yeah.
Mine was, and to I guess, expound on my point, and again, we're talking a lot from, like, the game theory perspective. Yes. If I'm in that position, I'm trying to sow as much discord as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm not killing one of the five, right? That faction of the faithful.
Right. Peter's faithful faction.
I'm killing a housewife, or I'm killing like Kate. Right. I'm just trying to have confusion, have them fight amongst each other. Right. I'm trying to extend. Right. Because if I'm killing one of the five, it's like I'm now gone. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like the tech, and it's funny, right? Because this game can't be 100% of the game, because it also has to be a reality competition. Yeah. Like, and it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, like, it has been. It is. There's been a lot of discourse between.
Yeah.
Between the shows, between like within the factions of like their own shows.
That's the most fun part for me.
Oh, it's been so great.
The quote unquote the housewives being like a faction, right? Yeah. The competition folks, right? Jai Banna, CT,
Dan,
Sandra, right? I love that part of it. There was a point that you had after we were talking about the murders. Do you remember? I can keep going, but I wanted to give you a point if you had one.
My name is Anthony Desiato. When I was 5 years old, I stood in front of a comic shop advertising The Death of Superman in its window display. That moment outside Heroes World set me on a path, a lifelong fan journey leading directly from that tattered red cape to my podcast series, Digging for Kryptonite. Each week, we mine Superman's vast 85-year mythology across media with thoughtful discussions about the stories that have shaped the Man of Steel in film, TV, animation, and of course, the comics that started it all. Join us on Digging for Kryptonite every Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts. And for those of you interested in exploring the classic George Reeves television show, please check out our sister series, Another Exciting Episode in the Adventures of Superman, an episode-by-episode rewatch podcast. And remember, it's about what you do. It's about action.
My name is Bill Bodkin, editor-in-chief of ThePopBreak.com.
If you want to check out a really awesome new podcast, we have been invited to AEW media calls with AEW owner Tony Khan. And you can now find the audio for all of those podcasts now on the Pop Break Today feed. So every time he's talking about something AEW or something Ring of Honor, you're going to hear it from you can check myself or Kimmy Sokol. We'll be every quarter over on the Pop Break Today feed.
I was just thinking that, like, I think it would be smart to recruit someone, mm-hmm. but I think that they should have, I think that Peter is too risky of a choice.
I agree. I 100% agree.
I think that it would have been smarter to recruit someone who almost definitely would have said yes.
Yeah. So do you, and so like we said, they pick Peter, decision pending.
Yes.
Do you think Bergie would have said yes?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do. Because... Okay, so ready? Peter.
Yeah.
When I say not a gamer, I mean he doesn't come from the show like Survivor, Big Brother, whatever. All those like gaming shows.
Dan said that. He's like, he's a bachelor. What is this nerd know? By the way, right?
Bad on you, Dan. Don't ever underestimate your opponents.
Yeah,
ever.
Fool.
Like, what kind of gamer are you? You don't ever underestimate your opponents. But now let's take a step outside of this game, right? Yeah. Let's take a step outside of the Traitor season two. You go, Peter Weber from The Bachelor. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, I know. You go, Bergie from Love Island. Everyone's like, who? So I think that Peter has a better, like, I think it looks better on him. It would look better on him to say no to becoming a traitor, is my thought. Like, I think that for him, it looks better to be like, no, I'm a good guy. I'm going to die. I'd rather die a hero than, like, become a villain, you know? But Bergie is like, nah, man, I want to play and get money. That's my thought.
I'd rather die a hero than live long enough to see myself become a villain. Yes. That's interesting.
Right?
By the way, I'm looking up, like, Instagram followers as we go along. I'm like, I wonder how many Bergie has. 150,000.
Yeah.
Peanuts. Yeah. Nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, so do I think Bergie is above becoming a traitor? Absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. The Peter is a swing, right? Because whether or not he was the biggest get going in, he is now the alpha.
Oh, yeah. Like, and Because he caught the traitor. Yeah. Which, and I really want to speak about Dan, and I want to put a pin in that, because I want to speak about Dan's whole game.
Right. I'm going to start writing this down, because there's too
many.
Yeah,
I know. It's a lot. There's a lot.
It's so many. But keep going, because I'm putting a pin in this. I'm literally putting a pin in this.
Okay. No, but all I'm saying is that, like, I think Bergie would have been a better choice to recruit. I think it would have been smart of them to recruit. Like, I think they made the right decision in recruiting as opposed to killing someone. Because I think that by recruiting, you're doing a better job at sowing discomfort among the general public, especially if Alan Cumming was like, there's a new traitor. It suddenly unwinds everything.
That's
right?
True. Now I can't trust anyone. Exactly. Everything I knew was
exactly.
Is exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's why I think it's smart to recruit someone. You just have to pick a safer recruit. They should not have went after, like, I don't think it's smart of them to go after the head of the table. They should go after someone who is trusted, I think it might have been even smarter to go after, what's her name? Another housewife.
Sheree. I was about to say that. I'm surprised Phaedra didn't say, like, she's my girl. I want to protect her anyway. Let's just bring her into the fold.
Mm.
And she doesn't have a lot of heat on her.
She had, like, no, Sheree has, like, no heat on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was foolish, but I have another theory that I just thought of.
Okay.
So, right, our three traitors to begin with, we had Dan, we had Phaedra, we had Parvati.
Yep.
Okay? Now, Dan, we'll get to his whole story. Like, we'll do that. But he's out. He's gone.
Gone.
Now it's Parvati and Phaedra.
Yep.
Right?
And potentially Peter.
Potentially Peter, right? Now, I think Phaedra has played this game amazingly.
I agree.
I think she's doing a really good job because she knows that Parvati is gonna, she's gonna get axed at some point.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe Parvati, or maybe Phaedra didn't push Parvati too hard with the, maybe we don't pick Peter. Because maybe she's just like, if it's just me, I can kill whoever I want and no one's going to suspect me. Mm-hmm. Right? Whereas these other clowns are getting kicked off and trying to drag her under the bus. So, like, imagine if you could be the only traitor. Like, why not?
It's risky because you have no help then. But, you know, if traitors going after traitors, then I guess you would rather be the only traitor.
It's hard, though, right? Because, like, what help do they need?
It's good to have someone in the house who could deflect or honestly have a patsy you could throw, like, under the bus,
I was
going
to say, no one has deflected for Phaedra yet. No one's needed to deflect for her yet, which is why I think she's probably like, I can play this by myself. Right.
Well, I think from her perspective, it's good to have patsies.
Sure.
It's good.
But then I think she should have pushed harder to get someone who's more of a patsy as opposed to Peter.
Yeah, well, she really... the one thing I think about that's been interesting about Phaedra in the trainer sessions is she takes frequently a back seat, and I wonder if it's good you still want to play your cards close to the vest with the traitors, because the biggest thing, the difference from Blood on the Clock Tower to maybe a game like Werewolf is that in Blood on the Clock Tower, the bad guys are all on the same team.
Yes.
Whereas this, the traitors are not really all on the same team.
Yeah, they are and they aren't, right? Because, like, if the traitors win, they get the whole pot.
Yeah, and ideally you want that to be just a pot of one.
Yes, yeah. Right, of course. You want it to just be you who wins. But, yeah. like if it was, like, two people who were friends and you could, like, split a giant pot of money, sure.
Yeah, almost like Phaedra and Sheree, right?
Yeah, but, you know. But it sure does seem like Phaedra is building goodwill with everyone. And then I think that at the end of it, I could see her throwing any of her other traitors under the
bus. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It is interesting, like, seeing all the different people, like, how they play this game, right? Like, because you have the Janelles who are bad at it and just are, like, going to throw bombs everywhere, yeah. Right? And then I think you have the CTs who are, they're good at the physical challenges, yeah. But then they're also good at, like, fostering relationships and coming off as genuine and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the Johns who are just kind of, I think, the hapless idiots.
Yeah.
Like, they're just there to be, like, a happy soldier.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you had the Peppermints who just unfortunately got kind of caught under the tractor at the wrong time and then just went home because of dumb bullshit.
Oh, poor Peppermint.
My favorite part of the show in the early proceedings was having them eliminate Faithful by clinging to stupid bullshit and just all being like, wow, we're really done. Deontay literally sends himself home
because
he got Max eliminated when he knew in his soul that Max was a traitor.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that Max was not a traitor. And this shattered Deontay's psyche.
Yeah. So this was interesting because if you're not paying attention, you may not have noticed that Deontay just wasn't in the show anymore.
Yeah.
So Deontay was the one who got Max sent home. He was the one who, after that elimination, was, like, crying on the couch. And Phaedra was, like, sort of consoling him. And then you just don't see him anymore. And he doesn't get mentioned again, like, in the next episode.
It's... Unless you feel more confident than I do.
I feel very confident that it didn't get mentioned that he got sent home.
I was like, maybe I missed it, but you...
No, I feel very confident that they didn't bring it up. Okay. Now, people... If you're hearing this and you're like, no, they did mention it, tell me. Prove me wrong, because I genuinely do not remember it being said at all. And now it's possible I missed it. Jackson, baby, work.
But you feel very confident.
I feel very confident that it just flew under the radar.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But I found that to be very weird.
That was weird.
That it was just, like, done.
This show is produced, like, mostly, like, pretty well.
It's a little overproduced.
Too much of the, I don't know what it's called, but it's like right before they cut to commercial, you have the regular shot and then it becomes like a black and white shot. Like it's a horror movie for like a third of a second and then it goes to black. I don't know what that effect is called, but
I know it
if you've seen it.
Yeah, I mind that less. The one that I mind the most is where someone will say something and then they pan over everyone's reactions. Except it's not their in-time reactions. It's like their, I'm going to call it stock reactions from a different point in the night.
Yes.
That they're trying to make it seem like that was the reaction they had to this moment.
Everything is tight shots. There's no wide shots so you can actually see what the reaction is. It's all tight shots. So it's like the view is like, well, I don't have any perspective on this. So I guess that's what happened. And it's clearly not what's happening.
Right.
They overuse it too much and it's funny, like, if you're watching The Traitors, and maybe this isn't the case, but I assume that you have watched at least some other reality TV shows.
I'm sure it's not the case for every single viewer of The
Traitors. No, of course not. But I mean, whole cloth, most, plurality, whatever. So it's like, be a little more sophisticated, right? Like, trust your audience, right?
Yeah.
Unless they really do think, like, oh, we can just, like, put one over on these rubes.
I will say... Because yes, the Frankenbites of everything between like clips versus like sound editing versus like all that stuff and the effects, like what you're talking about, it's a lot. It's a little much. Yeah. They could probably reel that back in a little bit. But also everything about the show is kind of like a lot. Like everything. I would love to be in this universe to like go to Scotland. Play these crazy games and like do essentially a big like murder mystery party. And I want that table. I want the table.
You've mentioned
that. I want the table that they sit and they do the eliminations at. Like, I want it. It's so gorgeous. It's this beautiful, like, wood table with, like, all the moon phases in it. Ugh.
I literally do not think we have a room in our house that would fit the table.
No.
Maybe this basement we're in right now recording the podcast, yeah. And it's that. It's because the basement is the length of our entire house.
Yeah.
And there's one big room under the house.
But then, like, the basement can be, like, our gaming room. Could you imagine? That'd be so sick.
That table and would still swallow this space, by the way.
We would have to get rid of, like, all the furniture in this room just for that table. And you know what? I would do it.
Worth it, damn it.
Oh, man. I would do it so fast.
I was gonna say on the production point, it's so when you're a hammer, every problem's a nail. I guess when you're an NBC Universal based reality show, every shot's a close up Frankenbite.
Yep,
it's just like it's what's in your DNA, and it's like what you know, it's home for you. I brought this point up too. And we'll get to the other pins, the two. I was saying to you, you know, so one thing that's interesting about the show, we as the audience know all of the information.
Yes.
We know who all the traitors are. Yeah. There's no guessing. Right. We kind of learn everything more or less in real time outside of, like, the murders and stuff that you learn at a very slight delay.
Right, right, right.
But we're something like The Mole, which that was, like, I think, like, a very meaty competition, right? Like, The Mole is all about the competition and very much less about the other stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
That it was interesting where you didn't have all the information
and you're guessing who The Mole was.
So right. I wanted to ask is, do you think this show would be better if we didn't have all the information and we could, like, guess who the traitors were and stuff like that? Or do you think it's better that we do know all the information?
I like knowing who the traitors are because I like watching how they play the game.
Okay.
I like watching their conversations and seeing their decisions and all that kind of stuff be made, because then I get to judge them on how they're playing this game. And I think that that's a perfect segue into our pin.
Okay, so you want to talk about Dan?
Yeah, let's talk about Dan. I think Dan was awful at playing this game. And again, I try to come at this as someone who is typically a game master of a game that is very similar to this, right? Okay. Dan was a traitor. He's one of the original traitors. It was Dan and Phaedra. They were the OG traitors. Dan, I really had higher hopes for Dan for this role. There's a few, like, glaring things that he did wrong. The biggest thing that he did wrong is that he wouldn't throw anyone under the bus. And by throw anyone under the bus, I mean he just wouldn't throw any kind of name out there. Anything. Or, like, anything.
He wouldn't even, not even just go as far as, like, throw someone under the bus. He wouldn't speculate.
Right. He did nothing.
It was the safest game he could possibly play, which is so bad.
Yeah. Like, this game that we've played, Blood on the Clock Tower, in the earlier rounds, which you could argue maybe day one or day two for this show, some people are like, you know, I know some things. I have some information. I'm keeping it close to my chest for now because I don't want to become a target for the traitor. Were those the earlier things that Dan said? I'd be like, sure. But we got through six episodes where the...
Half. Those are half of the episodes. Like, six is half of
yes.
the...
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We got through six episodes, which is half the
season.
And he didn't give anyone up until the very end when he decided to throw his fellow traitor under the bus.
Who everyone trusts, Phaedra.
Who everyone trusts. Instead of throwing the other traitor under the bus, the other traitor who had heat on her. And it's like, you are bad at this game.
He also waited to the last possible second, not even like before talking to people like, I think it's Parvati. Yeah. I want to say, or if you're going to do the Phaedra gambit, like throw out some trial balloons.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I actually think he built a good initial case, like no suspicion, has had some weird votes. But then like he did the strongest part of his case and then the weakest part of his case with like weird reactions and da da da. And that's like, that's so flimsy because they've already made the mistake of, someone had a weird reaction. We sent them home and they were a faithful.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not going to buy that.
That happened with Peppermint.
But, like, if you think that, like, you'd go, like, I think it might be Phaedra.
Right.
For these reasons. And someone would be like, that's crazy. What are you talking about?
Right.
And then at least that is in front of one person instead of like everyone.
Also,
right?
you should do it. Okay, ready? Dan had Sandra was her name?
For what?
For like the survivor person who has come to him a few times and been like,
oh,
hey.
Yeah, that's Sandra. Yeah.
Sandra came to him a few times and was like, hey, this person's thinking of voting you out tonight. Like, so clearly Sandra had established some kind of like connection.
And
with
she'd
Dan.
Mentioned that.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Sandra went to him a few times and was like, hey, this person's like thinking of voting you out. What you do, Dan, you go to Sandra and you go, listen, I haven't told anyone this yet. You know, I've been quiet. I've been keeping this close to my chest. But I feel I can trust you. So I'm going to tell you
this. Yeah.
I think it's Phaedra because X, Y, Z. Yeah. You let Sandra start festering in that. Like, build that in herself. And then maybe you test the waters with someone else who is closer. Maybe someone who's skeptical of you. Someone who's like, it's why haven't you said anything yet? You pull them aside separately. By them, you go, listen, I haven't told anyone yet because I'm not sure. And the person who I suspect it to be is really well-liked. And I don't want to be thrown under the bus the way everyone else has been.
Yeah.
You do that because the problem is if you throw out suspicion to someone who's like popular in this game, you get kind of like thrown under the bus immediately.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to like separately pull people aside so that at the very least the heat is taken off of you.
And people who aren't in those factions, right? And like even like in the early one, it's like, I think it's crazy, but I think Phaedra might be a traitor. And it's like, I'm not sure, but I got a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And like, see what happens,
right?
Like, so then if you do a big reveal, then some people are like, actually, I've been thinking about it, and
Yeah, he mentioned this to me early on, so, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's got, you can't just be like, when they're like, tell me a name, any name. How many people went to him and were like, just give me any name, and he's like, oh.
CT was begging him. CT's like, I like you, man, but, like, you gotta give us something, and he's like, I'm waiting, and they're all like, your funeral, man. Like,
like it's so suspicious. Like, it was so, because you have to think, if you're in that role where you are a faithful, you have theories and thoughts and stuff, and you might want to keep some of it close to your chest, but, like, you can sprinkle some kind of, like, ideas in there and whatnot of who you think it is and all that kind of crazy stuff. And, like, you just create fake things for other people. Like, as a traitor, you look at who else is being suspicious, or you talk to other people and hear who they think is suspicious, and then you just spread that around, because then at least you know how you have one other person backing you, right?
Yeah.
And like, they don't have to be your own like thoughts. Like, you can steal someone else's thoughts, no one's gonna know. Like, but he just was so suspicious, and I was surprised because he was like in the gaming, like the gamer group, right?
Yeah.
Like, he came from what
Big
was it
Brother.
Big Brother. Like, and he won once.
Almost twice.
Like, I'm surprised from this game that, like, and you know what? The other thing he did that was, like, not great was that he underestimated Peter. And you can't, when you're if you are in a game like this where there's a bunch of people and you haven't played with most of those people, you can't underestimate anyone.
Yeah.
You don't know. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know Peter would be, like, this good.
This is something do you have anything else on Dan? Because I have a transition point.
I think that's it for now, but if something else comes up, I'll just bring it up later.
Okay. So, our connection point to this show, like, is Peter.
Yes.
Like, out of all the people on the show, we know him the most and best.
Absolutely.
Seeing him, because he's not featured early on, but he kind of grows, right?
Yeah,
there's, like, CTS, the thing with Kevin, it's like, I want to kind of like have a thing between us, because then it'll throw the traitors off, because it's like, oh, you let the wolves eat themselves or whatever.
Right.
And then he starts like building this little faction. But now to see him like come into his own where he's like a leader, I'm like, oh my God, Pete. Like, it's so crazy, because like, I liked him enough on his season. I wasn't wowed by him. But to like learn that he's like a dyed-in-the-wool like gamer, I'm like, oh my God, like, are you my favorite? Like, are we BFFs? It's just like, I like, cause now it's just like, if you could meet any like bachelor, like, you know, lead, like, who would you want to meet? And I'd be like, oh, probably Nick, because like, he'd probably tell it like he is, has some crazy stories. But now I'm like, I want to meet Peter so we can talk about games all night.
Yeah.
Like, I just like, oh my gosh. I don't know what, like, how is, how, what has been your experience specifically with regards to Peter?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's great because something that we don't get a lot from the Bachelor show format, and I'm just talking about regular Bachelor, not like BIP.
Sure.
You don't get to see who these people really are.
Yeah.
And I don't, that sounds like awful, but you don't. There's a very strict format. There's like guidelines that they have to follow. There's a lot of production that goes into it, you know, like you get a little bit of their personality, but you don't know who they are.
And Joey gave us a lot, to be fair. Yes. We got a lot from Joey.
Right. But
most, 99%, yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, most of our, loyal viewers and stuff know that that wasn't the norm. Like, that's very new. Yeah,
exception to the rule that proves the rule.
Yes, exactly. So, to see, Peter being, a person, and I don't think it's just because, oh, he's being a person. It's like, oh my god, he's being a person that we could be friends with. like, that's what it is. It's like, oh my god, we could be friends. Like, that's what I'm getting out of this. I used to be like, oh my god, let's interview Peter to talk about Bachelor stuff. And now I'm like, oh my god, please, can we talk about games, with you? Please come on. So, and he might not even be, a gamer in the sense of, owning the, 60 different tabletop games that, we have.
Right.
But it could be just oh, you are just inherently good at games. And I think that that's interesting and I want to, talk about it.
And he was on, Rachel's season of The Batch. No,
he was on Caitlin Brown's. Yeah, Hannah Brown's.
Hannah Brown's. Sorry. Right. I was like, Caitlin, right. He's on Hannah Brown's season. Yeah. And now I'm thinking, was he, really good at just, gaming, on The Bachelorette? He kind of knew how to get far? Because he got hometowns, right? He got fantasy suites.
Yeah,
he got the windmill. The windmill, yeah. So he made it really far. Yeah. In the Bachelorette, and I'm like, oh my god, is he just a gamer, right? And I'm like, go on everything.
Yeah.
Put him on the next season of The Mole. Give him, I don't know if he's dating anyone at the moment, but I'm like, giving him another crack at a dating show or whatever.
I want to see him on a dating show. I want to see him on these everything gaming
else. Yeah. I want to see what, yeah, sure. I want to see what else he could do, right? Could he go on Chopped and crush it? Does he have this?
Oh my god. Bachelor, Next Level Chef crossover. Do it. Did just match.
Oh, you can be a social media chef.
Yeah.
Does he have the skill set where if you just gave him enough time to prepare for something, he would be good at it?
I love that idea. Because,
he is, well, I don't know if he's, his profession was a pilot. I don't know if he's transitioned from pilot to, professional, just, personality. Because I think he was going back to doing Delta flights a little bit.
That's cute. Could you imagine?
Oh, my god. There were people on social media who were posting, oh, my god, Pete's, my pilot. So
I would cry.
He was doing Delta flights for a little bit after The Bachelor, but I don't know this, so let me be clear. I don't know if he's still doing it or if he has since stopped. But, if that life is past him now, maybe just, because, it takes, I don't want to say, a varied skill set to become a pilot, but it's, not easy. Maybe just, having that kind of brain and just, going through that, makes you the kind of person who could be adaptable and do, a lot of different things. If I gave him 3 months to prepare, not even Next Level Chef, for, an episode of Chopped, could he crush it?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like
it's – and now I just wanted to see him do, other things.
Yeah, right? What was that show? Dirty Jobs. Remember Dirty Jobs?
Yes.
I feel like I want a show – with that format, and the format being, we're going to just throw you into different scenarios every episode, for Pete.
Yeah. It's wild because, when we started watching the show, it's that's cute.
Yeah.
Pete's on the show as a character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now it's he's becoming the main character.
Right.
And that transformation is amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to, I don't want to disregard Bergie, who is also, coming into his own. Bergie more so was viewed as, this guy is, nobody. He's a nobody guy.
He's a wee boy.
Yeah, a wee boy. He is a wee boy. But, everyone was like, oh, yeah, Bergie, whatever, not a big deal. And then there was one challenge that he, killed, and then everyone's, and then Pete began trusting him, and now Pete and Bergie are, so tight, which is why I think they should have picked Bergie as the person, because I think Bergie's not too above himself to would have said yes to become Trey. Wait, before you get started, I just remembered something I wanted to ask you. Do you think Pete could win the whole thing? Now, I'm going to remind listeners, we haven't finished the show.
Don't spoil me, please.
Right. I like don't even want to go on social media.
I know.
Until
I might
done.
Like. I think Michelle and I might blitz this, and then so we can look up everything good. And then not get spoiled. But we might blitz this, and then forget everything for when we record in 2 weeks.
Right.
We'll write it all down.
Yeah, I honestly might take notes for the next episode.
To answer your question, yes.
You think he could win the whole thing?
I think he could win. The challenge is not getting murdered prior. Because, and it's true in all these games, if you become too hot too fast, then you... Not even too fast. At any point, if you become too hot, you get stomped on.
Yes.
You have to be kind of there. Not too much of a liability that you get thrown out or voted off. Right? Because... The faithful will never get rid of Peter because he's too much of an asset, but that means he's a target for the traitors.
I was going to say, wouldn't you argue that he's too hot right now? Like, he's got way too much heat on him right now.
I would not murder Pete if I were the traitors, because I think it then becomes too easy to hone in on the traitors, especially if you're Parvati. If you're Phaedra, you could probably get away with it, but I think it's better to... You want the good times to roll to some extent if you're the traitors.
So I think that there's a weird... I think that there's a weird thing right now with Peter and with Parvati. And when I say with the two of them, I don't mean together. I mean like that Parvati, I think, is going to get voted out next regardless because Pete has put so much heat on her.
Yeah.
So unless she does something drastic in the next episode, I think she's getting voted on next regardless. Or if someone else does something that draws a lot of suspicious blood. But wait, but then also... I think Pete is too good of a player that it's too much of a liability, even if it is, like, just Phaedra left. I feel like Pete is too, he's too good.
Yeah, like, there is the argument that maybe they should have, well, but Parvati would have never done it, but they should have just killed Pete instead of trying to recruit him. Because, like, if the backfire to the recruit Pete plan is that I think, depending on what he does, is that even if let's say he says yes and decides to join the traitors, if he still has to be against Parvati, because then if he pivots, it's like, oh, Pete's now a traitor,
right? Yeah,
he can't change. Like, the point of recruiting him is, oh, we have one of the five, right? We've corrupted one of them, but that then you still might have to die because he can't change tact.
You could,
it's too obvious.
You could, so here's the thing, because I'm gonna go ahead and just live this fantasy where Pete is like the ultimate gamer. He could come up with a plan with her where she does something that's like really like altruistic to the faithfuls, and like maybe gives up a shield or something, and then Pete could maybe just start like veering towards someone else as opposed to her, you know, like he could be like, well, if it was her, she probably would have killed me and she didn't and whatever.
But
like
I think they know there's a new traitor when one gets recruited, especially because no one will have
yeah
died.
We don't yeah. And I mean, this is all speculation from us because we don't know, like we don't know what happens when like I'm sure that Alan, because that's what happened
when Parvati was recruited, they said there's a new traitor,
right. Yeah,
we'll get to him. But yeah, I think that's why Pete's a gambit that might not work out. So I actually, did you have anything to bring up? Because we should talk about Alan Cumming, because we're getting in the long in the tooth, as it were.
No, I'm just really like very obsessed with like everything about the show. I love the challenges, and
yeah.
I just want to talk about the one challenge in particular really quick, because my favorite challenge by far was the. There was like a bird call challenge.
This one.
Where, so.
This is from Impractical Jokers.
Oh my
this
God.
Is something right out of Impractical Jokers.
I loved it. It was so funny. So there was the group outside and there was a group inside the mansion. And the group outside had to find different locations, hear a bird call, and then relay that bird call through a walkie-talkie. Then the people inside the mansion had to go find the statue of the bird, play the sound of the bird call, and try to match it to the sound that was made by through the walkie-talkie. It was just a funny thing to watch because you have these adults going like like through a walkie-talkie, and then you have all of the contestants running around the house going like up to each thing and like pressing buttons and hearing the calls and then being like, guys, I found it, and like
This challenge is the writers, like, we're gonna get them so bad. We are just going to this. It's like one for you, one for us. Like, this one's for us.
Yeah,
right?
and so that was probably like the best one to watch. And then the scariest one to watch was the funeral one.
Yeah,
hated that. Yeah, the one where Ekin's Sue died.
Yeah, that was
freaking hated that. Like, hated that because I'm like slightly claustrophobic myself, and at the very end of like this whole funeral walk where they were deciding who wasn't dead, they had the three contestants sitting in a coffin or like laying in their own coffin. And then the coffin closed on Ekin-Su, right?
Yes.
Like, it closed on her. We saw it close on her. Now, there's the next shot is it being lowered into the ground.
Yeah.
And there's no way she was in that coffin.
I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
Coffin closes. Cut!
Yeah.
And then, like, you
she
know
gets
what I mean?
Out
yeah.
And then they carry it, whatever. Yeah. But it did close on her. And that enough for me would be like, no, can't do it.
Even if it were for like literally 2 seconds, like coffin closes, cut, they open it up right away.
It's too much, right? Because like a lot of times it's like movie sets, right? There's a lot of lights, cameras, whatever stuff. And I'm not saying that, and there were cameras in this, but also they were just outside and there was just like at like what looked to be a grave site. And then there were three coffins that were life size that these women had to get into and lay in a coffin as... Like, I don't know. It was a lot. It was, like, that was, like, very... That was much for me. That was much.
All right.
Yeah.
But
the bird one. Bird one was great. No notes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the bird one was so good. Let's talk about Alan Cumming.
Where do we start? Where do you want to start?
Has he won any, like, awards? He should win an Emmy for this shit. Give him reality game show host.
Wasn't he in the Spice Girls movie?
He is in the Spice World
That's
movie.
That's probably my first interaction. No. It was either the Spice Girls movie or... He was in the Spy Kids.
He's in Spy Kids,
But I think he's also in the Spice Girls movie. Can you Google that real quick?
Yeah, he's in Spice World.
When did that come out?
1997.
When did Spy Kids come out?
Spy Kids 01.
Okay, so I definitely... My first interaction with Alan Cumming was Spice World 1997, which, by the way, if you haven't watched it and you're a fan of Spice Girls, you gotta watch it. It still holds up.
Yeah, he's Piers.
Yeah. Gotta watch it. So good. Oh my gosh.
Spy Kids, Fegan Floop. It was like, oh.
So that's my first interaction with Alan Cumming. Now, in this show, he is perfection. He is just him and his little dog. And their outfits are just amazing. Like, he's an amazing game master.
He gets to be his Scottish self.
Yeah.
And so Michelle and I were talking about this. The bounds of the Scottish language are... accents are very high. So you have... I'm going to do my best. You have Alan Cumming, who's his very silky smooth. Hello, my faithful entrators. Yeah. It's good to see you this fine morning, enjoying your breakfast, your tea and crumpets.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, you have
Drew McIntyre.
Well, I was going to say Brave.
Oh, you have Merida from Brave. But mom, it's just me, boo.
Same accent.
I thought you were going to say the Drew McIntyre.
I don't. That feels like a deep cut.
Just watched. It.
I guess for wrestling fans
Let's
out there,
go.
I could do
they
it.
They know we watch wrestling.
I did this for Michelle. I think I did a pretty good job. Yeah. Like, Damian Priest, I'm coming after you. It's CM Punk.
And there you go. Those are your three. That's your range of Scottish accents. You have Alan Cumming, Merida, and Drew McIntyre.
They're all Scottish.
All Scottish.
But you got Alan Cumming in these. I can't properly describe it. Can you, Michelle, can you describe the outfits?
I only can't because they are so different every time. But they are very high fashion, varying Celtic. I really don't know, like, the best way to describe it. You should watch it. But he is wearing amazing outfits every time. Every time, except for the one outfit, which had the big polka dot tie, and the plaid, either a kilt or pants. But do you remember that? Because
I remember being
that doesn't. He had this big polka dot tie that looked like a clown tie, and I was like, that is the only thing I have not liked that you've worn. But otherwise, He wears these little outfits. His dog to some like matches him. Whenever his dog's on screen, he's matching. And I'm so here for it. He had recently he had these long black leather gloves on, and I was like, oh, so here for this. But it's very like avant-garde, very like high fashion type of outfits, you know?
Yeah. So I'm on Alan Cumming's award page Wikipedia, okay, because I think that's great. He has unfortunately, as far as I can tell, never won an Emmy. He's been nominated for a bunch of... Oh, no, he won a New York Emmy Award. I guess that counts. For Best Lifestyle Program, First Look Scotland.
Huh.
I guess that's technically an Emmy. He's not won a primetime Emmy. But there's some great ones here. So how about this, Michelle? He won Best Musical, A Strange Loop.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we know A Strange Loop.
Alan Cumming was in it. Was there a West End run? I'm not deep diving this now, but it's amazing. Best Actor in Musical, Cabaret. So he's got a couple Tonys. That's cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, some audio awards for Dracula. But here was the best one.
Go ahead.
He's in the Vanity Fair Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And he has the PETA Humanitarian Award.
For what?
So probably being a great humanitarian.
Okay.
So Alan Cumming, just he's great. He's just killing the show. I want him to win an Emmy. I don't want to read that. You can read it if you want.
I will. I'm gonna read this, and I'm just gonna go ahead and say this is not, it doesn't sound great. In 2011, he won a Fleshbot Awards, the category being sexiest fashion, and the work being Cumming, the fragrance. That's a thing that he won. That is on his Wikipedia.
Oh, man.
Excellent.
He also won a Razzie, which is lame. Worst Supporting Actor in Son of the Mask. Oh, only nominated. He didn't win. Good.
Mm.
Bad that he was nominated, though. How dare you? He's a treasure. So give this man an Emmy for The Traitors. The Traitors.
It's seriously such an inspiration for me as a game master. Like, I just love everything that he's about. Like, with this show, he does such a great job. It's so good.
The pitch is so great because it's filmed in Scotland.
Yeah.
So the pitch is amazing for an Alan Cumming. You get to go to your homeland of Scotland. Yeah. We're going to dress you up in audacious outfits, and you're going to be this game master in this beautiful castle, and you just get to be the man. And the audience is just going to ogle you because you're so handsome.
Yes.
And we're going to make you look so good.
Yeah.
And you just get to chill. And just bring your cleanest Scottish accent.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that. It is all of that, and it's flawless. And I'm not saying he does nothing, because he definitely does, like, more than, like, Jesse Palmer does on The Bachelor. Like in that he's hosting all these games, and he's, like, around. And every day he comes in with, like, the breakfast things, and he's, like, sort of around for the round tables that the people have. And he has to meet with the traders and stuff. Well, no, he doesn't always meet with the traders, but, like, sometimes he meets with the traders. So he's, like, he's doing work.
He is establishing so much. I really think as a host he is elevating the show.
Yes.
And it juxtaposed to, you know, maybe some hosts like the Lachey's who are dragging the show down as hard as they can. But now I'm just like, have Alan Cumming host Love is Blind.
Oh, no.
Hello, contestants.
No.
Today you will find out if love is truly blind.
Oh my god, is that Alan Cumming?
I guess. So, man's a treasure.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, he does a great job. Also, this, like, I know I've said it, but, like, it's... They do a really good job setting the scene. Like, the mansion in Scotland is gorgeous. And, like, whenever there's, like, a... one of the challenges, they have like these bulky Scottish dudes working like very Groundskeeper Willie-esque.
Yeah, so their version of the pit crew in the show, it's giant men with huge beards wearing kilts, and it's all muscle.
Yeah,
and they're ringing bells, and they're like digging graves,
carrying bodies,
whatever.
Things,
like, and it's like, all right, I the This show's aesthetic is so on point.
Oh my god.
It's
it really is. I'm not sure, I've been obsessed with this show. It's so it's been so good.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you have anything else on Traitor season 2, episodes 1 through 6?
Not yet. I'm excited to watch more of it.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do Senate right after this.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to wrap up here.
I wanted to just do a quick RuPaul thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Other shows.
Right. Yes. Right.
We have that's it, right? We don't have any.
Yeah. There's nothing else we're talking about. But I want to talk about RuPaul because we got down to the final four and then. And so on. And I just want to talk about it real quick. So we had, since we last spoke, and I think last thing I talked about was Dawn being sent home. They did, after that, the family resemblance challenge. Don't remember. We did speak about this because I remember talking about the broad shoulders that that was given to, oh my God, Morphine's partner. So Morphine went home, and then the challenge after that, because there was two, who got sent home after Morphine?
There was it was final four after Morphine.
Did we talk about, I remember talking about the family resemblance challenge, right?
I honestly can't remember. Well, Morphine went home after the family resemblance challenge. So
Morphine went home after the family resemblance challenge. I can't remember if I spoke about this or not. So then it was final four, which was Nymphia Wind, Plain Jane, Sophia Kristal, and Q. And they essentially had to do a like book cover, and they had to do an interview for a podcast about their book, and then there was the runway. And at the end of the day, Q ended up going home. I don't want to say it wasn't deserved because it was she didn't do great. She had to lip sync against Plain, and Plain killed it.
Yeah. Plain put Q into a garbage can.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was really
like
bad.
Plain did such a good job. Yeah. And it was a good reminder because, like, we've seen Q lip sync during the season, but we haven't seen Plain lip sync since the very, like, first episode or two. And because she won, not because she was in the bottom. But it was just like a nice reminder that it's like, oh yeah, Plain's like really good at this too.
Yeah.
So now we are down to our final three, and that's gonna, this upcoming Friday is going to be the Rulapalooza or something.
Sure.
Where they're going to have all the other contestants, like all the old contestants, do a lip sync battle challenge for
$50,000. It's a battle royale.
It's crazy.
I honestly, maybe this should just be the show. Like, maybe the show should be this based on some of our previous feedback.
Well, then I wouldn't need to watch it because, like, that's not what I am here for. But then now we have our finalists, our final three.
Yep.
It's Plain Jane, Sophia Kristal, and Nymphia Wins.
Who's going to win?
Sophia Kristal. Okay. I just think she's. She's everything that Rue wants in a queen, and I think she's going to win.
And the show is RuPaul picks a drag queen, and then they try to fit a competition around them.
Yeah, kind of.
Feels like that this season. Maybe that's not always the case. You could probably make the argument for last season.
No.
Anyway.
I would not call Plain Jane or Nymphia Wind like losers by any means, because they're going to have so many shows and everything. So by no means are they losers, but I don't see how Sophia Kristal doesn't win this whole thing.
Yeah. Who would you pick to win the Battle Royale, Palooza?
Who would I pick?
Yeah.
It's going to end up being Morphine, right?
I mean, I had Morphine beating Sophia Kristal in that lip sync, but like, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about.
But that's
so.
Because Morphine wasn't picked to win the whole competition, and Sophia was.
I mean, do you think that Morphine did better in that lip sync?
Yes.
Well.
Right, but again.
There you have it.
But that's why I think Morphine will win the lip sync competition.
Yeah.
She beat the girl who I didn't like.
Yeah.
Maya.
Yeah.
She beat her. That was the biggest lip sync challenge.
Yeah.
So unless any of them got drastically better, which I don't see that happening. But we'll see, because I'm going to watch. So we'll see on Friday.
You fool.
And then I think the week after that is the finale. So by the time we record again, I'll have, right?
Yeah, you can just spew it all.
Yeah, The bleh.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Okay, so anything else you got to cover TV-wise?
No.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to wrap up. Do you want to say some all the notes in the socials and the announcements and whatnot?
Yes, so we actually do have an announcement as of recently. The Pop Break TV feed is going to become just the Pop Break feed.
Yes.
So it's currently two different feeds, and they're merging that into one.
Yes.
So right now, if you just listen to this feed, you don't have to do anything.
You're good.
Like, if you just listen to Verses and Rejections on this feed, you're fine. Like, don't worry about it. You're all good. You will start seeing a lot more content in this feed, though.
Yes, yes.
Because what's happening is the Pop Break Today feed, which is the other feed, is going to be merging into the Pop Break TV feed.
Yeah, which will become just the Pop Break
feed.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Because you're here and you're listening to us and it's all good.
Yeah, you have to do nothing else if you're listening to us here. You are good.
Right. You just might start seeing some other things. And, you know,
and by check out the context.
I was going to say, by all means, I hope you take a look through some of the new things that you see, because all good.
One of those podcasts that's in the Pop Break Today feed that I was on was, I mentioned, the Batman by the Numbers podcast that I was on with the Christopher Nolan movies. And so, you know, that was in the Pop Break Today feed. And I think they're moving some legacy podcasts over, but, you know, you'll like Michelle said, you'll be seeing a lot more. And maybe things that are your fancy.
Also follow us on Twitter at Roses Rejections.
Give us suggestions. So in 2 weeks, we're going to do the second half, right?
Of The Traitor Season 2.
Right.
And we'll be talking about the RuPaul finale as well.
Yes.
That'll probably be like the whole podcast for the next 2 weeks. Because there's going to be a lot to talk about between The Traitor Season 2 finale and the RuPaul Season 16 finale.
But then for stuff after that, you know, reach us via socials or, you know, Discords, or, you know, you can figure out how to contact us. You know, ask Fajita.
Be the next Fajita and tell us what you want us to watch. And we will, by all means, we will do our best to watch it. If it's as good as this, we will watch the whole thing. If it's not good, I can't make any promises.
Yes. And check out all the other podcasts that are in this feed.
Yes.
What do you got, Michelle?
The Anniversary Brothers TV Podcast, Digimon Adventures 25th Adventure.
25th.
Anniversary.
We say this every time.
Yes.
Anniversary Brothers, stop doing things that make us feel old. Because it happens every single time.
Digimon, 25th Anniversary. Ugh, it hurts me.
And, on the TV break, you have X-Men 97, Three Body Problem, and Girls 5 Eva, a show watched.
I watched almost all of season one.
I think the new season dropped, and
is it season two?
Or three? Whatever the latest season is, Nando told me it's really good, because he loves that show, and he said this season's really good.
I remember him being a fan.
So, I don't know if you want to pick that up, and, you know.
Sure. Let me add it to my list of shows that I gotta watch.
And then if you're looking for some other content, if you're looking for what to watch, we had both watched the documentary
on Max Quiet on Set
about the Dan Schneider, kind of like his TV shows on Nickelodeon in the 90s and 2000s, all that, Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, Sam and Cat, I can't even list all of them, iCarly, but and kind of goes into what was going on there, and it's some effed up stuff. It's a bummer, but it's a good documentary in terms of like the quality and the story and the interviews.
It's super interesting to see, but it's very hard to watch, especially if you're like me and DJ, where you grew up and these were the shows that you were watching as a kid. It's sort of like a peek behind the curtain of like this is what was happening in reality.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It is hard. I cried a few times while watching it.
Yeah.
They did just drop the...
There's a fifth episode they added.
Right.
That we haven't watched.
We haven't watched it yet. Yeah. We're going to watch it at some point.
It's on Max. Right. That's where you can find it. But
it's a really... It's a good show. It's not... Obviously, it's not like a reality TV show. But like it's really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And if you were a fan of Nickelodeon... especially in the like 90s, 2000s. Like, I think it's worth the watch.
Yeah,
just be ready for it to be kind of a hard watch.
Yeah, and there's an amount of content you could take in between like this and what was the Nathan Fielder show on HBO? The Rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
where like. Man, maybe this industry of child acting should be, like, burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Yeah. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
So they're going to fix this. But, you know, I think it's good to be enlightened with these things and just give you more perspective where maybe if you're watching this being like, hey, is this show with kids, like, actually okay, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know how if it'll ever happen, but I could see in, like, you know, within 5 years we're getting like the Disney version of this, right?
Because
I doubt this is isolated, right? And I think it's good when you know start poking around with this stuff, but it's like you're seeing it here, but I'm sure it's everywhere.
Yeah
it sucks.
I will tell you that prior to watching this documentary I had no strong feelings one way or the other if like my kids wanted to do acting things. After watching this I'm like, absolutely not.
I'd be like, do you want to play some football?
Yeah.
You want to go get some real bad concussions as a child? Like,
here's some video games. Like,
I can't even. I would here's some drugs. Like, I can't even.
Oh my
like,
god.
Everything is so bad.
It was really bad and really hard to watch. Yeah. And especially being like newer parents.
Yeah.
Like it was rough. It was a rough watch.
Yeah.
But it was a good watch. I'm glad I watched it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the next episode.
Yeah.
Outside of that, in a more fun note and a not realistic note, the new episode of Bluey dropped. So, like, also watch that. It did. It dropped and it was good.
Guys, the Blueyverse has changed forever. And I know that sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So check that out.
I just think it was funny because towards the end of the episode, we're like, well, that was a cute episode.
And you're gonna, if you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Oh, so good.
Real ones know.
The real ones know.
All right. So thanks, everyone. Did you give the socials?
Yeah.
Great. So thanks for everyone for listening. Let us know what you want us to cover after the next episode.
Be the next fajita.
Be the next fajita. Get some sleep. Dadding. But until 2 weeks from now, we will see you next time with The Traitors, Season 2, Episode 7 to 12. I don't know if we said this. It's on Peacock. It's on Peacock.
Yes, it's on Peacock.
So until next time, everyone.
Bye, guys. Love you.